You read with me tonight in one New Testament passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, and that word means, of course, made right with God, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You will likely readily agree with me that we have read a simple story. We have the reason for the telling of the story, because there were people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. The story is simply two men who are photographed praying. A Pharisee and a publican. The conclusion of the story is one man went down to his house right with God, and the other man went down to his house. He wasn't right with God, even though both of them had prayed. And the Lord Jesus gives us the lesson of the story, that those that exalt themselves will be humbled, and those that humble themselves will be exalted. Very simple. But like the words of the Lord Jesus so often, what is simple is profound. I hope before I finish this evening that you will follow what I am going to say just now. That in this simple story, the Lord Jesus embraces everybody in this gathering. In this simple story, you are represented by one of these two men. In this story, every person in the world, cross culture, cross religions, across the ages, all of man's religious thought is represented in these two men. That is a sweeping claim for a simple story. I want you to find, first of all, with me, the common desire of these two men. Now, they are quite different. One's a Pharisee, very much preoccupied with religion. One is a publican, very much preoccupied with making money. And yet, when these two men are brought together, it is evident that they have a common desire. Because no matter how broadly different men are, there is in every man a consciousness of deity. These men are aware they have got a God with which they must deal. My early impressions of God and of things related to God were formulated in the Maritime provinces, born and raised in Moncton, New Brunswick. I attended services that impressed me deeply with the reality of God. I would have to tell you that I saw the reality of a God, not only in the creation around me, but I saw the reality of that God expressed in the lives of people I knew and loved. And cross culture tonight, around our world, There is a common sense of deity, a realization that there is someone greater than us. And the vastness of the stars and the expanse of the universe tells every man and every woman there is a supreme being, and the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by what is, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that all are without excuse. But these men as well have a common consciousness of morality. Both of these men are coming to God with a consciousness that they are in the presence of a God who is moral, a God who distinguishes right and wrong. I have been very much interested by the writings of Don Richardson. He is a master storyteller of missionary stories. But one of his books is entitled Eternity in Their Heart. In his book, he tells numerous stories of what missionaries have found in various remote parts of the world. He tells of the Mutilone tribe of native people in the mountains of the Andes. And as the missionary went to them, they told him that the one habit they had in their grief was to cry into a hole in the ground and cry for God to come forth from that hole, because they sensed there was a need for God and an alienation from God. Tells the story of a tribe in remote parts of India. And when the missionary reached them, he found that they were waiting for a messenger, because from their fathers had come this ancient sense that their fathers had violated what God told them, and they would have to wait for someone to come with a message from that God. There is a common sense of morality, a common sense of a God who is offended across the cultures of men and women, and in every heart that is in this gathering this evening. You may stifle that voice, but that voice at unguarded moments will speak to you, because the Word of God tells us, Romans chapter 2, that God has written in every heart indelibly the moral code of His law. But I want to remind you that these two men as well have a consciousness of eternity, that beyond the present world there is a God with whom they have to do. And every one of us tonight is described by the words of the ancient wise man Solomon when he says, He hath set eternity in their hearts. And every one of us lives with this consciousness. This world is not all there is. And questions come flooding into the mind. What about the world that's coming? What happens when a person dies? I remember having the privilege of seeing a young man saved. I would have to tell you that the scars on his face, here and there, were the marks of a fighter, a brawler. And he would have answered the description of a fairly rough young man. And yet, when we chatted with him at the table in a friend's home, and chatted with his sister's home, in fact, chatted with him about his thoughts that had led up to the time when he was saved, he said, you know, it's strange, but these things have been in my mind for years. I remember when I was a boy down at the ocean, and I was with my father, and we were in the midst of all the fun associated with being at the beach. And I said to my father, Dad, what happens to people when they die? And my father's 6 years old. And my father said to me, son, don't think about those things. Just enjoy playing. There is a consciousness with all of us that after this, There is something more. Could I tell you tonight, on the authority of the unchanging Word of God, every one of us in this gathering tonight is not made for time. Every one of us is made for eternity. Every one of us shall be forever. You and I are souls that have an endless existence. And the time that we live here, as we have been reminded already in these meetings, is simply the staging ground for the existence that is eternal. And what we do in this life is the determiner for where we shall be forever. Every one of us has a God to meet. Every one of us has an accountability for right and wrong. Every one of us shall spend eternity in heaven or in hell. There are no other possibilities according to God's unerring word. But let me come to these two men again and point out to you their crucial difference. I want you to notice with me the way these two men approach God. One man comes to God, and I would almost have to tell you, there's a note of humor in the way I see it. He says to God, God, in case you have not noticed, I just want to make sure that you are up to date about me. I am very thankful that I am not an extortioner or unrighteous or an adulterer. And I'm sure glad I'm not like that man. I fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of everything that I own. God, are you noticing the things that I have done? And God, I want you to be sure to keep a record straight of what I am. I'm not. I do. He comes to God to give God information about himself. The other man comes to God to ask God for something that he needs. World of difference. It is striking to me that if we are going to look at what men really are, then the Lord Jesus takes us to those men relating to God. You see, the ultimate issue is not how you relate to others. The ultimate issue is not what others think about you. The ultimate issue is your personal relationship with God. And here is one man, and he feels that his relationship with God will be enhanced if God knows what he is and if God knows what he does. And the other man has a request to ask of God that is basic to his relationship with God. If I were to ask you this evening, if you had an audience with God and you could ask God for one thing, what would be the ultimate, the most important thing you would ask for? Now, please understand me when I tell you the health of your dearest loved one is not the highest concern in this world. Could I tell you that wealth and winning the lottery is not the ultimate thing in this world? This man is concerned about the real issue of this world. And if you were to ask God relative to the ultimate issue, relative to your relationship to God, relative to where you will be for eternity, what would you ask of God tonight? Has there ever been a time in your life's history when you and God have had personal dealings on this ultimate issue of where you stand before God and the question of your sin in the sight of a God who is holy? That's the issue that this man is coming to God about. And he approaches God with this appeal: God, be merciful to me, sinner. The ultimate problem you have with God is the fact that you, as I, were born a sinner. You, as I, stand as a sinner in the sight of God. This man's approach to God deals with his basic, his ultimate need. But notice the appeal of these two men. Now this comes to the very heart of what the story is about. This comes now to the very heart of what I have suggested to you at the beginning. That these two men embody all the religious thought of all ages. Listen now to the Pharisees as he's speaking to God. And he says to God, God, I am interested in being right before God. And the way that I expect to be right before God is on the basis of what I have not been and on the basis of what I have done. Now, without being confrontational and naming names tonight, could I tell you that that is the thought of the world's religions? That my relationship with God depends on this. I must do this, I must not do that. I have done this, I have not done that. And when you look at different religious thoughts, in some cases it may mean sacrificing children to the sacred river. In other cases it might mean giving huge donations to the right cause. In other circumstances, it might mean faithful attendance at services. In other cases, it may mean taking the sacraments. And in different cases, it may mean being baptized. And it all centers around what I do and what I am. This man is trusting in himself that he is righteous. That's the reason for the story. This man is expecting that the righteousness that God requires will be found within him. What is necessary for a personal relationship with God will come from here. And without knowing you tonight, could I ask you honestly, in the presence of God, just between you and your God, when it comes to a personal relationship with God, when it comes to your eventual meeting with God, what are you expecting will make you right with God? And let me ask you this, when it's all boiled down, does it center here? That's the Pharisee. I know you don't like his company just now. That's the Pharisee. The other man, what is his appeal? It is so graphic. Let me explain to you one of the words that he uses. This man says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you begin to follow that word in the New Testament, it is rich. I'll give you one possible way of translating it that won't help you too much. God be propitious to me, the sinner. But I want you to know tonight that that word is a graphic word in Bible terms. That word describes the place that God designed in the Old Testament where God and man would meet together. And what that man is saying is this. God, don't look here. Meet me at the altar where there is a sacrifice ascending up to God. In terms of what we have been singing tonight, and I deeply appreciate the selection of hymns that we have sung together. You see, we have sung on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk one day, but so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works, the Pharisee, or opinions if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. That's the religion of the publican. That's where the publican's thinking is. One man says that all sinners here, God, look at me. And one man says, God, don't look here. God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Don't look here. There's no hope within me. But, oh God, look at the merits of a sacrifice that I might be right with thee. Could I tell you tonight about their assurance? And it is the assurance of everyone who simply trusts the merits of the sacrifice of Christ. Our message tonight centers in a Christ who came to this world and died upon Calvary's rugged cross, gave himself a sacrifice for sin, in wondrous love for a world of guilty men. He bore the penalty of sin upon the cross. And every soul who simply looks away from themselves and trusts alone in the merits of Christ, no other hope, no other plea, he took my place and died for me. Oh, precious Lamb of Calvary, he took my place. He died for me. And every soul like the publican, whose plea is outside of himself completely and solely in Christ who died at Calvary, that soul is right with God. Listen to the assurance that these two men have. Let me just ask you, well, just a little imagination for a moment. Mr. Pharisee, I just have a little word with you on your way down to your house. I would like to ask you a question. Are you right with God? Now, you tell me, what's the man, don't say it out loud, what is the man going to say? I certainly hope so. I would think so. I feel that I'm right with God. I have done everything that I think I'm supposed to do. I have done everything that I think God requires. I hope so. I think so. Pretty sure. The Lord Jesus says, this man went down to his house right with God. Excuse me, Mr. Publican. Excuse me. Are you right with God? Yes. What makes you sure you're right with God? That's what the Lord Jesus says. One man looks for his assurance in the way he feels. One man looks for his assurance in what he is sure is right. Certainly, I think I must be going to heaven. Could I tell you tonight that every man or woman that's hoping, and they have only hope in what they think, and only hope in what they do, hoping to be in heaven, is like the Pharisee going down to his house, self-deluded, going down to his house, thinking he's right with God. And yet heaven looks on and says, no, that man is not right with God, because you cannot be right with God by what you do, and by what you feel and what you think. But here is a man going down to his house right with God, his conscience smitten before God. No other...